they don't answer your questions.
Well, have you ever made love to somebody who was drunk?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And their sense of feel and sense, their whole sensibility is different.
Bill, would you like to expand on that?
Expand is not the word I would like to use with me on a wide screen. I'm expansive enough, but...
We're back on the International Connection. Did you notice, Bob, that train safety ad had Mike and Bob? Mentioned Mike, yes. And Bob. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I tend to notice those things. I project myself through the media often, and it's reflecting. You know, I was just looking at the wiki summary of Tim Geithner, the new Secretary of the Treasury.
Uh-huh.
What's it like, Greg, to have these people take over these supposedly awesome virtual responsibilities, and they're all younger than you?
Yeah, I know. I don't like it at all. I don't like it one little bit. Hey, you're on the air.
Greg?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's Phil. I didn't want to be on the air. I just wanted to do something.
Okay. It's a bit difficult for me not to be on
no
the
problem.
Air.
Okay, no problem.
I'll do it. Can you tell me over the air what you want me to do?
No problem.
Go ahead.
Can you go onto the desktop and just delete a couple of song files?
Oh, okay. Hold on. I'll go do it right now.
Okay. That's great.
Oh, so it's Chumbawamba, is that one?
Chumbawamba.
And the Treble Charger.
There you go.
Okay. I'll
do
it.
Have a great show.
Okay. Thanks, Phil.
Bye.
That was Phil Dellio, the host of The Simple Things You See, heard here every 2 weeks. In other words, in 2 weeks, you'll hear that great Obama supporter, Phil Dellio, will be the unquestioning Obama supporter, will be on the air and playing all kinds of Obama hits. And
why did he want that stuff deleted?
I don't know. Let me play one. I mean, we may as well use it before it gets deleted. Why waste anything? This is Chumbawamba Bababa. Chumbawamba.
Bop, bop.
All right. Does anything happen in this? Let's keep this on. We'll go to a call. Let's keep that as background. Okay, you're on the air.
This is Dave Four calling in.
Oh, Dave Four.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, I wonder, are you doing any more desktop requests?
Yeah.
Can you clear a few more items on your desktop?
Sure.
Is there a holly berry there at all?
Holly.
Maybe a wreath for the Christmas season?
No.
Can you clear that off the desktop?
Oh, there is. There's some sparkly stuff up there on the desktop. Yeah.
Yeah, get rid of that, too. This could be icicles, maybe. You know, is there any jingle bells on your desktop?
And Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Halle Berry and Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Is there any jingle bells?
No.
On your desktop?
No.
She left Broken Souls of the Scene about 2 years ago.
Jingle Bells?
Yes, Jingle Bells.
Is that Bob Dobbs?
It is Bob Dobbs.
Merry Christmas, Bob Dobbs.
Great to talk to Dave Four. I'm Dave Six. I was thinking about that before the show. I thought maybe I started the trend to name ourselves Dave Five, Six, and Seven, but maybe it was this guy, Andy.
With the holiday season coming, I was trying to work the days into the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. 8 days of talking.
I think that if the audience really were paying attention, that it was probably I who came up with Dave 2, but who knows?
No, I'm thinking of the
7
four,
days
five,
of listening.
It's not much of an invention.
Yeah, but the Dave 4, 5, and 6. I think I
stayed.
Oh, did you?
Shopping.
Okay. Thanks, Dave Four. Did you agree with what we just said?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a good change. And hi to Phil Dellio. And I'm glad his desktop is clean.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. We're cleaning it off. We're clearing it off. Well, okay, that's the other one. This is Treble Charger.
If I hit the wall, I'll still be the same.
This one's depressing. Okay, I'm going to clear the desktop. Here we go. I know how to do
it. Was he worried that they would fire off in the middle of your show or something? Why
no, I just think it? I just think he's being considerate. He's thinking.
Okay.
He's just thinking it clutters the desktop and it's confusing. Maybe for someone wonders why they're there, and then if everybody left their things on the desktop, then there'd just be a lot of clutter, and you wouldn't be able to see the things you'd put on the desktop. It'd be obscured.
See, Greg, your show is honest in the sense that you go into a heavy topic, you bring in some Stalinism, and then you take some silly stuff. But that's actually what we're dealing with. I mean, you listen to those guys arguing on CNN or whatever it was. They're silly, yet they don't admit the ground, the techno ground, the mediated environment. They don't talk about that, but they keep being silly and stimulating people. We stimulate, then get sober. Then we become stimulated again. Then we get silly. Then we get interested. Then we become controversial. We are showing how we actually live.
Well, you want to know something that's really stimulating? You want to know something? Here it is. This is stimulating stuff.
Have a service or product you want the public to know about?
Then advertise with CKLN 88.1 FM. Call sales at 416-979-5251, extension 2373.
Our diverse multicultural music and spoken word programming is streamed and broadcast 24/7 to the GTA and is heard throughout Southern Ontario on Rogers 947.
We can be heard on the web at www.ckln.fm.
Contact our sales office weekday Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Or drop in at 55 Gould Street at Church, second floor in the Ryerson Student Campus Center.
To advertise your product or service with CKLN, email advertising@ckln.fm.
Or call sales at 416-979-5251, extension 2373.
CKLN, celebrating 25 years of independent radio.
The views expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. Listener discretion is advised.
I don't
have a service or product you want the public to know about.
Then advertise with CKLN 88.1.
You know what I don't understand? Doesn't the show include that ad? So does that mean that they don't approve of that ad? Or that it's dangerous or something? I don't know. I get confused. I get confused and things.
Hold on, Bob. Just one thing
about that. If, as some of you out there might be thinking that this show is so terrific and has so many, you know, listeners and so on, that you actually might want to advertise on it. And if you do actually get in touch about advertising, can you just copy me, BCC me about it? internationalconnection@rogers.com. internationalconnection@rogers.com. You want to get in touch with me about other things? internationalconnection@rogers.com. If you have any questions, any concerns, any worries, any paranoias, anything, just fire an email along to internationalconnection@rogers.com. Even if you don't have email, do it. You'll feel better for it. Anyway, Bob, what were you going to say?
I keep thinking about your age. You talked about your birthday this week. You're about 52 now.
I'm 53 now.
53, okay.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting? That's not that old in our post-World War II situation. But Obama, I mean, you were born in 57 or 56?
55, Bob.
Oh, 55.
I thought you
okay.
would be better with that, with your great numbering, your great mathematics skills. I thought you'd be able to do the subtractions on that one, but
well, I'm trying to be like the layman,
okay.
Stumbling a bit, you know, and create a little involvement, a gap that people can fill in, that I'm not just a sufficient motor mouth.
I'm 1 year older than approximately Rod Blagojevich, Mr. Blagojevich.
Yeah,
he was born.
But look at Obama, Tim Geithner, all these people taking over major responsibilities, which you would think come in at the peak of their career or when they're like in their 50s or 60s. They're all pretty. They're all younger than you. That means, Greg, you're never going to get a position of
you're right.
influence.
You're right.
You are over the hill
yep.
at an early age.
Oh, I know that. I know that absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, these guys had to work. You know that Tim Geithner came out of Kissinger Associates.
Oh yeah, I've associated with all the wrong people. That includes you, Bob.
Yes.
Well,
most of the people associated with me, if they didn't agree with me, they're in trouble today. Those that associate with me are in trouble, but they got slack.
Right.
That's the difference. You have slack, Greg.
Did I? I've got slacks on right now.
Beg your pardon?
I changed my slacks today.
Yeah. Now, listen, you got slack. You know it. They call it, they think you're a capitalist. They misinterpret your critics, your slack, as capitalist.
Hmm. Do they?
Oh, great.
They do say
you
that?
Have slack.
I have slack. Thank you. Thank you. That I take that as a great compliment. Hey, let's talk about Rod Blagojevich, Milorad Blagojevich, and I'm going to do this uninterrupted now. Not necessarily by Bob. Bob, please go ahead, but I might have to cut down on the telephone interventions. But if you do want to phone, 416-595-1655 is the number. Now, I am thinking of doing a no-holds-barred program starting at around 11 that probably won't be aired. I'll be doing it in another area. And I'll be giving telephone numbers that you can phone me in that other area starting around 11. And we'll just do another program, except it won't be broadcast. You won't be able to hear it. You'll just be able to think that it's going on and then say, I'm going to phone in about this. And we'll just experiment that way. I'm sort of committed to do that. Anyway, it's a strange idea.
Do you have a staff meeting this week?
Technically not. There was an attempt to have a staff meeting.
And what happened? That nobody showed up?
Oh, some people showed up, yeah. But we had an impromptu meeting. Well, not impromptu. I mean, it was planned in the sense, but we sat around and chatted. You know, some of the staff. You see, we're staff. We're volunteer staff. So a bunch of volunteer staff and a couple of board members sat around, chatted about things. Yeah, that was on Stalin's birthday.
Okay, good. Yeah. You arranged that?
Well, I can't say. Yeah, I mean, I guess I initiated it. I put things in motion.
No, you arranged it to be on Stalin's birthday.
Actually, I didn't know it was going to be on Stalin's birthday until after everything was booked. But I thought, oh, that's perfect. On Stalin's birthday, great. December 18th.
Well, I was going to ask you, what would Stalin think of the virtual economy? What is the Stalinist view of this capitalist mutation?
Oh, he wouldn't allow it to happen. He'd execute people involved in doing this. He would
execute a Madoff for making the algorithms.
Oh, well, unless they were algorithms for somehow making collective farms better, or he would like Madoff if he could send him to a capitalist environment and then sort of set the time bomb in motion to have it all destroyed. He would do that. He would think that, oh, that's a good idea. That'll destroy capitalism.
Do you know that that's what Dr. Bieder predicted? And you can project that scenario on what's happening. The Bolsheviks have toppled the Rockefeller virtual economy.
That's great. And he did. Hold on just a second. I'll take an intervention here on the phone. You're on the air.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt the show.
No, don't interrupt.
But please, can you just try to get on with the Blagojevich?
All right. So Rod is he's an American politician, of course. He was born December 10th, 1956, just approximately 1 year after I was born. And he's from Illinois, of course. He became the governor. And he is only the second Serbian-American to ever be elected governor of any state of the United States. And, of course, the other one was George Voinovich of Ohio, the Republican. Now, he was also, Blagojevich was the first Democrat to be elected governor of Illinois in 30 years. And the last one was Daniel Walker in 1972. Blagojevich struggles, even though he was elected governor just barely 52% of the vote, but that's enough to do it, of course, in this system. He struggles with his own party, with the Republicans, about passing anything, getting anything through. And we'll get into that a little bit later, why that is what the problem is. He's been the target of many federal investigations and has very low approval ratings in Illinois. And he's been called America's least popular governor. Now, I find that a lot of the people that are not very popular are actually the ones that are trying to do something good. But let's see. Let's see with Mr. Blagojevich whether what he's been up to here. As we all know, the day before his birthday, Blagojevich was arrested by FBI agents and charged with conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud. as well as the solicitation of bribery. And we know about that, right? We he spent much, but let's go back. Let's go way, way, way back in time, back to those days in the early 60s when Blagojevich was just a child. He spent much of his childhood working odd jobs to help the family pay its bills. He worked as a shoe shiner and a pizza delivery boy. Then he worked at a meatpacking plant. In order to afford university, Blagojevich worked for the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System as a dishwasher. So very working-class chap. Now, he married into a family of a very influential person. His father-in-law was Alderman Richard Mell. And Mell used his connections to get 200 soldiers somehow to campaign for Blagojevich. And that won him a seat in the Illinois House of Representatives in 1992 against an entrenched incumbent. So it's very difficult to win when you're up against somebody who's been in there for a while. And so in 1996, 4 years later, he gave up his seat in the State House to run in Illinois' 5th Congressional District. And the reason he, I guess, chose to run there was Dan Rostenkowski, who had served as the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, was defeated in 1994 after he pled guilty to mail fraud and was succeeded by a Republican. Well, Blagojevich came in and soundly defeated Mike Flanagan, and again with help from Richard Mell, his Blagojevich's father-in-law. And he was elected twice more, and he took 74% of the vote against just a nominal Republican challenger. And in 2000, the Republicans didn't even run anybody. He was up against a libertarian. Now, his big thing is anti-crime, and especially gun legislation. But he wasn't known as a particularly active congressman. Now, here's an interesting one. Blagojevich gained some prominence in the late 1990s when he traveled with Jesse Jackson to Belgrade in the former Yugoslavia to negotiate with President Slobodan Milosevic for the release of American prisoners of war. Do you remember when a couple of Americans were shot down in Yugoslavia and held there, and they were eventually released? Interestingly, Blagojevich, on October 10th, 2002, was among 81 of the House Democrats who voted in favor of authorizing the invasion of Iraq. And he was the only Democrat from Illinois to vote in favor of the Iraq War. According to Rahm Emanuel, he, Barack Obama, Blagojevich's campaign co-chair, David Wilhelm, and another Blagojevich staffer, quote, were the top strategists of Blagojevich's 2002 gubernatorial victory, meeting weekly to outline campaign strategies. However, Wilhelm has said that Emanuel overstated Obama's role in the sessions, and Obama said in 2008 that Wilhelm was correct, and he had been wrong in his earlier 2008 recollection to the New Yorker. So Emanuel already distancing Obama from Blagojevich. After the 2002 elections, Democrats had control of the Illinois House, Senate, and all but one statewide office. And now Blagojevich has signed numerous pieces of what are termed progressive legislation, such as ethics reform, death penalty reform, and a state earned income tax credit, a statewide comprehensive smoking ban, and expansions of health programs like kid care and family care, the latter ruled unconstitutional. Critics claim that Blagojevich was benefiting from the publicity more than the programs were helping the public. Blagojevich signed a bill in 2005 that prohibited discrimination based on sexual orientation in employment, housing, public accommodations, and credit. And during a suspected shortage of flu vaccine in 2004, Blagojevich ordered over a quarter of a million doses from overseas distributors, which the FDA had warned would be barred from entering the United States. Although the vaccine doses had cost the state $2.6 million, the FDA refused to allow them into the country, and a buyer could not be found. They were donated to earthquake survivors in Pakistan a year later. However, the lots had expired, and Pakistan destroyed the vaccines. After Blagojevich pushed for a law banning sales of certain video games to minors, a federal judge declared the law violated the First Amendment. and the state was ordered to pay $500,000 in legal fees. He supported a moratorium on death executions of death row inmates, even though no such executions are likely to occur. His predecessor, as we spoke about last week, the Republican George Ryan, commuted all of the death sentences in the state shortly before leaving office in 2003. And an interesting, also, Blagojevich wants to have to commute Ryan's sentence as well. Blagojevich also put in strict new ethics laws. And he said that if the ethics law had been in place when former Governor George Ryan had been in office, Ryan's corruption might not have occurred. Blagojevich also signed comprehensive death penalty reform bill that was written by Obama and the late U.S. Senator Paul M. Simon. Organized labor and African Americans have become Blagojevich's staunchest political supporters. In 2008, he told a group of African Americans that he sometimes considered himself the first African American governor of Illinois. Then he appeared on The Daily Show, and it was to discuss his executive order that pharmacists must dispense any drugs for which a customer had a valid prescription, including birth control pills and Plan B. This controversial measure was challenged on the show by state legislator Ron Stevens from Greenville. And there was and Jason Jones, who works on the Daily Show, pretended he was unable to pronounce Blagojevich and simply called him Governor Smith. And this prompted Blagojevich to turn to the camera and ask, "Is he teasing me, or is that legit?" 2 weeks after the interview, Blagojevich said he was unaware of the nature of the show, but Ron Stevens, his adversary, said that he thought the governor should have been hip enough to know that. Now, healthcare, with regard to healthcare, I think this is the most interesting aspect about Blagojevich. In October 2005, so this is 3 years ago, Blagojevich announced all kids his plan to provide access to state-subsidized health care for every child in Illinois. Sounding like a bit of a communist, isn't he? All kids made Illinois the first state in the U.S. to attempt to provide universal health care for children, regardless of income and immigration status. In November 2005, Blagojevich signed the All Kids Health Insurance Bill into law. So he got that done in a month. The bill obligates Illinois to provide affordable, comprehensive health insurance to every child in the state. Then, a year and a half later, Blagojevich does the unthinkable. He unveils and campaigns for his universal health care plan, Illinois Covered. The plan was debated in the Illinois State Senate, but came up one vote short of passing. I know all about that. One person short. One person short. You got to avoid that if you can. He proposed to pay for the plan with the largest tax increase in Illinois history. Good for him. He proposed a gross receipts tax on businesses, a $7.6 billion tax increase, with proceeds earmarked to provide universal health care in Illinois, increase education spending by $1.5 billion, fund a $25 billion capital construction plan, and reduce the state's $40 billion pension debt. But Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan called for a vote on a non-binding resolution on whether the state should impose a gross receipts tax. And when it became apparent that the resolution would be defeated, Blagojevich announced at the last minute that supporters should vote against it. Although the vote was intended to be a test vote to gauge whether the measure had any support. It's a weird move, huh? I guess it's to... the request was seen by many lawmakers from both parties as an attempt to spin the laws positively. It was defeated by a vote of 107-0, which the Associated Press termed jaw-dropping. When asked about the vote of the day, Blagojevich said, "Today, I think it was basically an up. I feel good about it." I don't understand that, but at least he was... So Blagojevich had also unsuccessfully attempted to impose a new employer tax on businesses that don't provide health insurance to their employees. So he's very interested in universal health care. So is this why they're going after him? Supporting the union against the Bank of America? And now, after when the story first hit, it was this blockbuster story that it was like a like he was down for the count, that all of the information was in, and he was guilty. As the week goes on, and Blagojevich on Friday said that he's going to fight this to the end, there were more people saying, well, I don't know whether he really did anything. He just talked about things. He didn't actually do anything. You have to have done something to get, I mean, in most cases, I mean, I guess if you conspire to murder somebody, then I think there's a law against that. But I don't know whether there's a law against what they're claiming Blagojevich did. So are they just out to get him? And is he a liability in somehow to Obama? Because it's all whirling around Emanuel and Obama. And lawmakers have not approved another initiative of Blagojevich's. Hey, listen to this one. Family care, which would provide health care for families of four, making up to 82,000. But he tried to, and Blagojevich attempted to implement that plan unilaterally by executive order.
He could be station manager of CKLN.
He's a good guy. Yeah, yeah. I know. He's. I'd have him here in a second. He's gun control. He said the state should ban semi-automatic firearms, prompting threats from several gun makers in the state that they'll take their business elsewhere. He tried to raise the price of an Illinois firearm owner's identification card from $5 to $500, saying that such a large increase was necessary so people would think twice about wanting to own a gun. Boy, he's not, is he even, he's a Serb. He's not an American. Blagojevich's position in regard to guns has been criticized by the Illinois State Rifle Association. And he's also involved in traffic safety. He proposed and signed into law a bill that was concerned with making seatbelt enforcement a primary offense. No traffic offense required before being stopped for a seatbelt violation. Another bill he signed allows the Illinois State Police to operate photo radar in Illinois tollways and construction zones. He sounds like a good Stalinist, this guy. But he wanted the Iraq War. I don't know. I guess he wondered. Who knows?
That's a Bolshevik. He's a Bolshevik.
Yeah,
guy.
I guess so. And then he got into a feud. He got into a feud with his father-in-law, the guy who helped him get into power. He'd been elected largely with his father-in-law's help, but the two had had a contentious relationship since Blagojevich was elected governor, because he double-crossed him. See, he voted for the Iraq War, and then got in and started trying to do health care. Feud went public in January 2005 when Blagojevich shut down a landfill owned by a distant cousin of his wife, Patty, for allegedly accepting waste it wasn't licensed to take. And it was revealed that Mel had served in his advisor to the cousin. So,
There's another controversy circling around him now, though.
Is there? Which is that?
Yeah. A painter in the Chicago area painted him in the nude.
Oh.
You know about this controversy?
No, I don't know this about that at all.
It says the picture of this old guy, Bruce Elliott, works on a new painting of Governor Rod Blagojevich in a Chicago studio. Elliott's wife owns the Old Town Alehouse, where the painting will hang, next to an earlier painting of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. Now, he did her in the nude, and then he immediately did one on Blagojevich after the scandal erupted to bounce it off because he was criticized as being partisan.
But they didn't pose nude.
No.
He just did them nude.
Yeah. Clever move. He's got attention.
Yeah. Rod Blagojevich. Look up, actually, Bob, seeing as you're on a computer there, can you look up, just look, Blagojevich and hair. I meant to do that. I saw that there were hits on that, and I just wanted to see whether there's any stories about his hair, because it's quite extraordinary looking.
Yeah, they say here, the first thing comes up is the Illinois Review says, this is a new one, and it's stunning. The Sun-Times asked today whether Blago's hair indicates he's crazy. Is Blago's hair a sign of sickness? Diagnosing Blagojevich. You want me to go first?
Yeah, let's go ahead with this.
Bringing up that article?
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, we're doing what everybody else does. We're doing the show like we're going on Google. We just walk in here and do it on Google.
Even Dan Rostenkowski did this. It says it's the head of hair that a man 20 years his junior would envy, a chestnut helmet that brazenly mocks Father Time and screams, "Healthy!" Or does it? Governor Blagojevich's glossy locks, perfectly sculpted in rain or snow, may be an indication of a sickness beneath his scalp, said one local psychologist. Quote, "It's all part of managing his image, managing his image of being without a blemish, without a flaw," said Scott Ambers, who has practiced clinical psychology in the city for more than two decades. Several psychologists interviewed one day after the governor's arrest agreed that he might be suffering from an affliction known as narcissistic personality disorder.
Hmm.
This grandiose sense of self doesn't carry the implication that Blagojevich is a raving lunatic, crazy, and out of touch with reality, but it does suggest he has a really overinflated view of his own importance. Those who bandied the term delusions of grandeur when talking about Blagojevich have missed the mark, Amber said. Quote, "I have a patient who is firmly convinced the FBI, the CIA, and the Department of Homeland Security are following her as she drives on the expressway. It's delusional."
So I have listeners like that.
Yes, and you have been accused of that, and I think you are delusional.
Yes, all right.
You know, that's the evil part of myself, the part that hates
right,
you.
Right,
you know. There's another part that doesn't tolerate, doesn't worry about you that way, you know. You're someone that has a show, and I must sort of kowtow to you and to get on the air. Okay, perhaps Blagojevich suffers from the opposite problem. Amber said, "I think he felt a certain kind of immunity. It's part of the grandiosity. They are not going to be able to punish me because I'm above the law. I'm smarter. I will outfox them." And they end the article saying, "Hairbrained?"
Hmm. Well, I think, are they here? Come on, hang in there for a second, would you? Gee.
You think what?
The person who phoned in and said, "Get on with the program," was phoning in. Now, maybe this is them again. Boy, you really get anxious, don't you? You get impatient when things aren't happening. How long was the phone ringing for?
Me?
Yeah, you.
It didn't ring.
It didn't ring?
No, it just went dead, and that's why I called back.
Oh.
But I just wanted to compare that helmet head to who I think is the champion of helmet heads, our own beloved Prime Minister Harper, who's another helmet head himself.
Yeah. Oh, what did you think of the Blagojevich stuff? Unruly callers. 416-595-1655 is the number to call. If you wish to speak to us here on the air, and if you don't...
Another article says that Blagojevich's hair incenses top stylists.
Oh, really?
They're really making you... See, this is the TV level, the image level, that interferes with the legal implications. The literate issues are blurred by this. There was much to be shocked about in the 78-page indictment of Rod Blagojevich. For one...
Blagojevich. Blagojevich.
Is that from Danny, the Serb expert?
No, I got it from me, the Serb expert.
I'll just tell you the problem here. I'm trying to read this article, and yet there's right beside it issues like Jennifer Aniston's awkward early show interview.
I know, it's distracting, isn't it?
Al Franken's Senate victory projected. Obama's taking points on Rick Warren. Arianna Huffington, Clinton Cheney, a tale of two dicks. Chris Kelly is Carolyn Kennedy, His question is Carolyn Kennedy or Sarah Palin. Look at all these issues, man. What do we concentrate on? I guess
and speaking
matter.
Of pain.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Go ahead, Bob. You're feeling the pressure.
Yes, hair today.
Yeah.
There is much to be shocked about. But hairdressers all over America needed little else than to look at his hair. Quote, from Calvin Klein's hairstylist Roberto Novo. There's no name for that. Ugh. He gasped in horror.
Hmm.
This is silly, Greg.
I know it's silly. Let's not do it anymore. Now, speaking of silly, and mentioning Sarah Palin, and as you did earlier there, the nude painting of Sarah Palin and the nude painting of Rod Blagojevich, yesterday, actually on Stalin's birthday, on December 18th, at the conclusion of an undercover narcotics investigation, I'm reading an Alaska State Trooper dispatch, by the way, Bob. Alaska Bureau of Alcohol and Drug Enforcement investigators served a search warrant on a Wasilla residence, resulting in the arrest of 42-year-old Wasilla resident Sherry L. Johnson. Mrs. Johnson was remanded to Mat-Su pretrial on three counts of misconduct involving a controlled substance in the second degree and three counts of misconduct involving a controlled substance in the fourth degree. Now, what does that all mean? Why are we so interested in what happened in Wasilla, Alaska? Is it just because it's where Sarah Palin comes from? Well, it's Bristol Palin's future mother-in-law was arrested on drug charges. So that's Bristol Palin, of course, is the young woman who showed up pregnant for the vice presidential run of her mother, Sarah Palin. And last Friday, Governor Palin's church was heavily damaged due to a blaze that appears to have been intentionally set. And then there's news that Bristol's future mother-in-law, and I don't understand why those two kids aren't married yet, Sherry Johnson has been arrested on six felony drug counts. So this is Levi's mom. Levi's mom is arrested. Mrs. Johnson, the mother of Levi Johnson, who was launched into the spotlight at the Republican National Convention last September, was arrested yesterday. was arrested yesterday afternoon at, quote, at the conclusion of an undercover narcotics investigation.
Interesting.
Johnson has been released on a $5,000 unsecured bond.
And sound like Twin Peaks.
Palin isn't talking about it. This is not a state government matter, Palin spokesman Bill McAllister told the Anchorage Daily News. Therefore, the governor's communications staff will not be providing comment or scheduling interview opportunities. No news yet on what types of drugs are involved or the amount, as that could jeopardize the investigation, according to the newspaper. But it's not all bad news, because Bristol and boyfriend Levi's baby is due, I guess it's due imminently. It may indeed even be born now. And they're going to have a boy. They're going to be a boy. Going to be a hockey player. Hockey playing boy. Not that there couldn't be a hockey playing girl, but they're going to have a hockey playing boy. Now, Bristol, I found this, that National Enquirer has found videotape of Bristol Palin smoking marijuana. And here's the future governor of Alaska's daughter. Bristol smiles at the camera, puts her lips around the pipe, and inhales deeply. She holds the smoke in for a while, exhales, coughs a few times, and then laughs uncontrollably. It was just another regular night of partying for Bristol and the other wild kids in Wasilla. What a place. One of those wild kids, future Palin's son-in-law, this is an old news item. He gets a prominent placement in the article, which claims that the hockey player has both sold and smoked OxyContin. That's Rush Limbaugh's favorite drug.
Yeah.
And has purchased cocaine no fewer than three times. From his mom, no doubt. Also, he used steroids. And evidently, he got Bristol pregnant in a tent. So,
well, the Dave Cooper aspect of this is the Twin Peaks corruption. You remember that show? And, you know, Twin Peaks was about me and Bob Marshall, but I just realized that I'm living between two peaks here in Maui.
Are you?
I've actually come to a Twin Peaks geographical situation. But I did want to get not so serious as what you're presenting. I want to remind our listeners that Sherman Skolnick, one of the original contributors to the International Connection, what did he have to say about Blagojevich?
I don't know. We'll have to go and find out.
Here's a, comment.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Here's a quote. Yep. A columnist cites him. Says, according to Sherman Skolnick, the Chicago area courts are crooked. Skolnick, now deceased, chronicled how bankruptcies were handed out to the highest bidders. This article, The Bankruptcy Bordello, may be found at skolnickreport.com. It was a lucrative arrangement. The designations were desirable and brought a good price. Skolnick was as popular as a proverbial skunk at a picnic, but he persisted and used his skill as an investigative reporter to leave the evidence to posterity. His archives, which cover a myriad of wrongdoing by both political parties, can be found at skolnickreport.com. Skolnick, in an article titled Centers of Corruption, Intrigue, and How to Get Elected, describes the mechanism in getting a governor elected. Quote, in the tide of commerce and politics, how does a governor get elected? Remember, when elected, he will greatly control and in some way strongly participate and who gets state contracts? What community gets fix-up funds? Who will be exempt from Big Brother government? And who or what will have open season for their pirate enrichment? In 1998, in Illinois, supposedly elected on the Republican ticket for governor was George Ryan. In supposedly getting a nod from sleepy-eyed voters, lulled asleep by the liars and whores of the press, Ryan escaped the real scandal bullet. Ryan had been Illinois Secretary of State, the state title being misleading. No, he was not the state diplomat. His main function was the issuance of licenses to autos, trucks, and other vehicles, and the driver's license were the same. As in other places in the United States, the Secretary of State gets corrupted by bribery from mobsters who want unlisted and untraceable license plates. Stolen auto parts purveyors, called chop shops, need to falsely register vehicles with stolen motors and such. So there's a complicated situation for the background of the previous guy who's now in jail. I mean, it's not simple being governor.
No, not simple at all. I couldn't figure out what George Ryan had done. I read the whole account of why he's in jail, and I couldn't make head nor tail of it. It was things happening in other states. But
it sounds like both he and Blagojevich are nailed for other reasons.
Yeah, it really does, that they need to be eliminated in some way, because Blagojevich is, and Ryan even before him, both the Republican and the Democrat, Ryan was giving humanitarian aid to Cuba. And then Blagojevich is trying to get universal health care for everybody in Illinois. I mean, it's almost that they're segmenting themselves off from the rest of the United States in terms of their policies.
Yeah, this Barack thing could be the Rockefeller counter-coup against the Bolsheviks, because the Bolshevik guys who run the Pentagon got these kind of people in, Ryan and Blagojevich, you know, socialists. And now there's something happening, because a lot of these guys like Paul Volcker and the old Clinton people, Tim Geithner, Kissinger associates, they were taken over by the Bolsheviks, according to Beter. And maybe this is a Rockefeller return, because they say Bill Clinton is the son, illegitimate son, of Winthrop Rockefeller. You've heard of that, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. Winthrop was the governor of Arkansas up until, they say, from 66 to 73. And there's a whole thread of opinion that Bill Clinton was his illegitimate son and was designated to be president on behalf of the Rockefellers in due time.
Makes sense. I found this story in British 55 for you to call in, and if you want. You don't have to.
Closed society. We have the same callers, the same people.
Yeah.
Is there someone who we don't know who's listening and been listening? Would they please call in and...
Oh, here they are. Here they are. They've taken your... No. Oh, yeah. There they are. Okay, you're on the air. Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm here.
Yes, you're here. Okay, good. So you were just calling in because Bob said if you're listening out there and you haven't phoned in, to just call in. So you did it.
I'm calling in. What are you guys talking about?
See a new caller. Great, great, great.
Okay, what are we talking about? I think we were talking
about... What are you guys talking about? Get real. What is this Bolshevik and socialist and subterfuge crap? Get with it. We're not as stupid as you guys think we are.
Oh, no, you're pretty stupid.
You're pretty stupid. We want real radio.
Look, you are stupid. Let's begin with that so we get on the same page. Why do you think you know something? What do you do, hang up?
Yeah.
Did you cut him off, Greg?
No, I didn't cut him off. No.
Coward.
Why would I? Yeah. Why would I cut something like that off? That was interesting.
Yeah, I wish you'd stay. Call back. I mean, come on. We're going to respond to you.
Yeah. No. He doesn't want to respond. Doesn't want to be questioned.
I think that was Lord Selector.
You think?
Yes.
It was Lord Selector-ish.
Yes.
Although I wouldn't, you know, it's allegedly, I mean, it's speculation.
Like
I would say
it's
in the style of Lord Selector.
That's right. This is like a high school where Somebody from the geography class wanders into the math class and says, what the heck are you guys talking about?
What? Get real. Come on, let's have some real radio.
Do a
weather check. Come on. Do a time check, for heaven's sake. Come on, get with it.
We've been doing this for 25 years.
Come on, go.
We have our sources. We're citing Skolnick. We have references. These people have been borne out. They've been proven many times. And if you haven't followed it, you don't know what we're talking about.
Like go to some ads or something.
I love that. I wish we had more of those. I wish alone.
You're on the air.
Yes, great.
Yes,
who
hello.
Was that last caller?
I don't know.
Because he was full of it. He should only
speak up.
FRB AM, because I understand what you guys have been talking about.
I wish I could hear. I love the tone of this guy.
Yeah,
and I think you know who I am, because at one point we started.
Hold on, Bob. Hold on. He thinks I know who I am. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you know who I am, I think, because I spoke to you about Prince and all that, and I have a...
Oh, yeah.
I have a 1981 performance on DVD I think you'd be interested in.
Yeah, okay. That's good. International Connection at Rogers.com. Did you call in years and years ago and have you had a battle with Daniel?
Yeah.
I remember that. That was a good... That was good where you were defending, you and I were, it was me, you and I against Daniel.
Where is Daniel?
Daniel, I saw, he was here this morning.
Really?
He's the producer.
He's the producer. He just checked to see that I was here on time and ready to roll, and then he left. He just had to make sure that things were, you know, everything was all set, everything was prepared, and then he... You know, he's more of a manager at the moment now than anything else.
Yeah, he's very involved with Dave Cooper issues.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, so at some point, I'll, what's it, www International Connection?
No. International Connection at Rogers.com.
Okay.
Yeah, email me. Yes, we don't have a website. Or you can go to, no, don't go there. I won't give you any other website to go to. It's, it would be improper.
Do you agree that we're real, caller? Are we real? Do you agree with that last caller?
So what I'll do, I'll talk to you.
Okay.
At that point, because I'm sure you'd be interested. It's with all the original members of the band.
Yeah.
And it's a great live performance. It's when, you know, it's before all that pre-frap stuff.
Right,
which
right.
When he was raw from Dirty Mind.
Dirty Mind, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, Dirty Mind tour, man.
That's with, is Lisa there?
Yeah.
Lisa's on it?
Lisa, Dez, Andre, Sink, Bobby, all of them, all the originals.
It's nice. Oh, is it that one where he, is it the one where he's at a dance school?
No, this is, he's performing at the Roxy.
Oh, okay, have you seen that one at the dance school?
No.
Okay, we'll trade.
When is that one?
I don't know, he
what
went,
year?
It's gotta be, what, I think it was, I forget what he was doing there, but it seemed really unusual.
Yeah.
I think it was it was right before it was right before Purple Rain.
Okay.
Yeah, and he went and he'd as a kid he'd gone to this dance school. And so he went and gave a performance at the dance school, and it was early versions of some of the songs you'll later hear, and they're a little bit different. It's like he had them he hadn't fully developed them yet. And so he did a fundraiser at the dance school to help them out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So, International Connection at Rogers.com.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for phoning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Boy, that's a blast from the past, that guy. That was years
ago. You have a good ear, Greg.
That was years ago when he phoned in.
But you have a good ear.
Yeah.
You remembered.
Oh, yeah. And a good memory of certain things on the show. Sometimes if I listen to the old programs... Not that I do that often, but sometimes we have to. And Daniel and I, we just go, I say to him sometimes, do you remember even doing this? Just completely forget that we did it. It's like somebody else. It's like somebody else's radio show, which is a lot better. When you listen to them more contemporaneously, the ones like from last week or something, they're not as fun. But when they're a year or so old or a few months old, they're a little bit more listenable because I don't even relate to the fact that I did them. Anyway,
yeah, it's part of being discarnate. Your chemical brain can't contain all the experience you've had. And so it's not a disease amnesia. It's a necessary function for the chemical brain.
Come on, you're getting into that Bolshevik socialist stuff, Bob. Stop it. Get real, all right? Hey, where'd he go?
Sorry, I apologize.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm just doing that for that other caller. He'll like that. And
the guy felt that the radio was his space and we were invading it. There's a sense of, it's entitlement that we were polluting his experience of CKLN. And he doesn't think that he has to stay and argue it.
No, it's just he's the manager.
Yeah, he's CKLN's the landlord.
Yeah. Come on, get real, get with it. Okay, I'm gonna do a weather check. It's clear skies out today, Sunday morning. It's nice and sunny out at the moment. And outside of Ryerson Polytechnic Institute, it is it's cold. It's cold. And out on the ledge outside the building, on the building across the street, are about 80 pigeons all on one ledge all the way along, warming themselves up in the sun. It's a really wonderful sight. I really wouldn't want to live as a pigeon. So that's the weather check. That's like real radio, everybody. Yeah, real radio. We're doing fantastic. Real radio. Okay.
We're remembering the categories of conservative and liberal.
Yes. Yeah, we'll stick just to that. We'll stay right there. It's either you're a Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal. Now we know the NDP is consolidated into the Liberal Party. It's only a matter of time. So, there was a case out in BC where someone was convicted for calling somebody a prick. And so it shows you how – this is a good lesson to anybody in radio, what you can and can't say, even in your own home. And
yeah, that's not on the radio. This did it privately.
No, this was privately. This was in somebody's house. They said it in somebody's house. So here it is. Here it is.
It wasn't as if we were speaking in public or saying anything defamatory.
But you called him a prick.
Yes, I did. And that's how I honestly feel about him.
Here they are again.
The Court of Appeal of this province has said it's okay for a private detective to come into your home, secretly tape record you, ask you leading questions.
You don't have that happy-go-lucky feeling that you live in a community or in a country where you're protected.
You don't feel you have free speech.
Certainly really.
Not anymore.
And here's the other clip.
We were tape recorded in our own home expressing our own opinions.
We were whispering in our own home because we didn't know if the house was bugged, or you can have these monitors now that can, listen to you from across the street.
So it involved...
Always technological problems, see? There's new technologies. But don't people realize if you have this kind of information 24/7 and this kind of ridiculous virtual... a talk show reality, that it will wreck your company, your country? This is the reason why we don't have an economy anymore.
So
the very medium we're using, Greg, is undermining everybody.
Oh, that's good. I mean, is it?
Yeah, well, I mean the cell phone.
Oh, yeah, I hate the cell phone. That's terrible.
Well, that's why you're a conservative.
So this is how the... You mean because I'm a conservative?
No, that's how you're conservative.
Yes.
Technologically.
Yes. I'm very conservative about a lot of things.
You might be conservative compared to some other programmers at CKLN politically on the opinion view, but technologically, you're conservative. That's why you're on this old station and you want to save it.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It's very conservative, very outmoded idea.
Yeah.
I have all outmoded ideas. It's but I'm stuck with them. Nothing I can do.
Stalin. Stalin wanted to move Soviet Union back to the 1850 level. He thought that Stalin was very conservative.
Oh, he was. Yes.
Technologically, very conservative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They wouldn't let Elvis in.
Nope. No, that was after Stalin.
I know, but it was before Khrushchev.
No.
Uh-oh. You know the history?
Well, I don't. It was Khrushchev, wasn't it?
Yes, it was joined Khrushchev, but Khrushchev had not become his own identity until 57, 58. You know, he started changing the policies, the Stalinist legacy.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was a secret Christian, according to Peter. He was part of the Skopje faction.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a second. I'm really down on Khrushchev. Don't like him.
And it was during his period, but it was a Stalinist policy not to let Elvis in 56, 57.
Yeah, they were firmly in charge then. The only things that were Stalinist that were left over there were sort of the social systems and the space program. Because it still had the 5-year plan rolling.
Yes.
Khrushchev was undermining everything else.
I mean, that's an important plus for Stalin. I mean, he actually got man in space before the Americans from this backward country.
I'm telling you. See? It's great achievements.
That's if you want new technological environments. I mean, the satellite created a whole different world in the 60s. The whole world's watching was happening 40 years ago in Chicago Convention.
Yeah, he took a lot of those Nazi rocket scientists and brought them back to the Soviet Union and didn't make them the heads of the space agencies either, not like the United States.
The stuff based on the Tom Wolfe book?
Yeah.
And there's a scene. They're going through the pilots, you know, the guys who break the sound barrier. Sam Shepard is one of the pilots, the hero pilot.
Yeah.
But there's a great scene. I always remember it. I want to go back and look at it. Showing the Russians putting up Sputnik, and they have this evil guy leading the space program. Obviously a Nazi scientist, just, you know, gleefully.
Werner von Braun.
Remember that?
You're on the air. I didn't see that movie. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Duffel.
Good morning.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Greg, can I ask you a brief question? Then I've got a number of comments. I want to talk about the Governor General's, the Queen's representative's decision with respect to the future of our lovely country, Canada. But I just want to talk about one really important thing prior to that. Is that A-okay?
Go.
Okay, Greg. I called him before, and I'm really not at all happy with the way that your show has gone lately.
All right.
Good. We like
really,
that.
Really deteriorated. Anyway, now let's talk about.
Well, we know that. We know that, caller.
What do you think? Do you think you're telling me something that I don't know?
You think that news?
If you know, we agree with you.
But it has been planned by me.
What?
If you know that, then why do you have this gentleman on the line? Why don't you get the issues that are really, really important, like economic disparities, like, for example, that we have the Queen's representative, Ms. Mikhail Jean, okay, who was making backdoor decisions with our oligarchical Mr. Harper, okay, who is basically determining the future of Canada. They have prorogued Parliament, and they have basically said that, you know what, guys, it doesn't really matter what the electorate is saying. It doesn't really matter if we would have been defeated in Parliament. Talk about things like that, Greg. Talk about things that really matter. Talk about
Oh, boy.
Are
you kidding me? I hardly ever cut anybody off, but could you imagine if we started talking about that nonsense? You know,
talking about them making
pierogies up in Ottawa. You know, getting together and having Polish food. It'd be pointless. There's already enough of that talk. I mean, go talk about it with your friends. How often do you have a conversation about Blagojevich having health care in Illinois?
How many people know that? This guy thinks that what the mainstream news tells him is reality. He thinks that's what the issues are.
The show was so much better before. I mean, what? Who do you think picked the stuff that went on the air for the most part? I mean, it's like we're talking about Dion and all that. Hey, you want me to talk about Dion? Okay. You want me to do that? All right, here we go. We'll see how interesting that is. Stéphane Dion. This guy, listen to his parliamentary style. It's awful. He was just so awful. I guess he's out now, is he? Like, Michael Ignatieff is the leader. I don't even follow this. Who cares? You know, we've got a white Russian. a white Russian in charge of the country. Here's Dion. Listen to this awful style in Parliament.
He's saying that we liberals are solving Canada to the separatists, and his Quebec MPs are saying that the separatists are solving their soul to the liberals. We need to choose between these two lies. Canadians are fed up of his lies.
He's going French.
Oh.
That goes back an hour and a half ago when you had somebody saying in your opener that they're complaining about going French. That's what they mean.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Here's another one. Here's another style, Dion style.
Every member in this house has received a mandate from the Canadian people to deliver a government.
He sounds like management and staff at an annual general meeting.
Okay. The Prime Minister doesn't have the support of this house anymore. Will he allow a vote to test if he has really the confidence of this house as it must be in a parliamentary democracy?
That's fantastic. Oh,
just awful. See, I'm ready with this stuff. Look, I got it. I got it, caller. It's low priority. It's low priority. It's just
Canada
used.
Is low priority.
It's just
this
used
is the international
as,
connection.
Yeah, for heaven's sake, this is low priority. This nonsense in Canada.
They don't even know what your show is, Greg. It's
yeah.
the international
yeah.
connection.
Yeah, you talk about them going proroguing stuff. Talk about what they talk about on Mike Duffy Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, Greg, I'm not talking about pierogies. I'm talking about the fact that Canada is not a democratic country.
Oh, tell us something new.
Yeah, did you think it was?
What? You thought it was? You think it's democratic here? Did you hear it from the beginning of the show? Did you hear what I was talking about at the beginning of the program?
Yes, I did.
Can't you connect the dots? Can't you connect the dots? Don't you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking in code. Don't you get it? I'm talking in code. You've got to figure it out. I can't speak. You say there's no democracy. Greg, there's no democracy in Canada. Hey, I can't speak what I really mean here. I can't say what I want. Don't you think that's a demonstration of democracy? You forced me to tell you that I'm not free to talk. And you have the nerve to phone me up? You can't read the code from the beginning of the show?
Listen, if you couldn't talk, okay, you wouldn't be on the air. Okay,
yeah, go ahead.
Naivety. Have you been to any annual meeting?
Gordon is not here. If you couldn't talk, you wouldn't be on the air.
All right.
Chomsky tells us about a lot of very, very important things.
No, he just talks about what he does. He's a fact. You know, reading him is like reading a concentration of facts from Wikipedia. He just tells you.
P-O-B, print-oriented.
Yeah, he just says, and in Afghanistan in 1997, there was a munitions plant that was, you know, it's just, he gives you a bunch of facts that you didn't know about, and then for all of the liberals, they read it, and they go, gee, I didn't know that before. That's really interesting. What will I do with that? Let me think. Nothing. I mean, it's interesting, but I'm not knocking him for doing research. He's a researcher. He just gives you a bunch of facts, and then after you read his stuff, you think you know a lot of stuff. And then what do you do with it, though? Nothing.
Yeah, and his summary is always, see, 500 years of oligarchy.
Yeah, everything we already know. It's
can I ask you a question? Where do we go from here? What's the solution, Mr. Duffel? What's the solution?
Dobbstown is the solution.
Imperialist. So-called democracy.
You know what you do? You know what you have to do?
Shall we live with what we have, Mr. Duffel?
This is what you have to do. This is what you have to do.
Get a gun.
This is subservient to Mikhail Jean.
This is what you have to
do.
We got to get her. We've got to. This is how you stop the future from happening. I'll give you a clue.
There's some. You know what? Go ahead. Sorry.
You know that we're at the end of the line. I'll tell you why.
No, we're not.
Yo, listen.
No,
Here. We're at the end of the line. I'm going to tell you why.
No, we're not.
I'm going to tell
you. We have a lot of potential power.
Hey, pod this guy down, Greg.
I don't know where you found him from, but you know what? I think he's basically one of the other guys. But anyway, go ahead, Greg.
Are you sure? Are you sure I can go ahead? Okay, now, you look at the past governors general, all right? You got... You've got, oh my gosh, I've forgotten her name. Who's the...
Adrian Clarkson.
See, that started...
What's going on now?
That started with... She was on the CBC. She was a quote-unquote journalist, and she was involved. And then they got used to her, and then they put her into that job. And then we had to watch The Passionate Eye for a while. And Mikhail Jean would come out pretending that she'd actually produced some of the greatest documentaries that had ever been made. Come on. Hello, I'm Mikhail Jean. You know, with The Passionate Eye. She'd come out, and then we have to accept her as basically our head of state. Now, here's the important thing. No, wait a second. I'm not just telling you what you know. I'm going to tell you something I found out over the weekend.
Hallelujah.
The evidently news world is going to be changing its format, and it's going to be eliminating all of its documentary product, and it's going to turn into a CP24 type of all sorts of, you know, messages, stock information, weather information, all, you know, a whole thing.
Who's talking about CBC Radio? Okay, who's talking about Adrian Clarkson? Who cares about all of the mainstream media? Okay, you say that you're talking in some sort of cryptic format, but let's just get straight here, okay? What happened here in Canada with our so-called person in charge who will take care of the interests of Canada, namely, Mikhail Jean, okay, the Governor General of Canada, who represents the Queen and who has the power to basically tell Stephen Harper that he can no longer be in power. She has the right to do that. And the Queen herself also has the right to overturn any law that's enacted within the Parliament of Canada up to a two-year period of time.
We have to give your oath of allegiance to the Queen to be a member of Parliament. You to be in the government.
Absolutely. Crap.
Okay,
we are,
all right.
I gotta lose you.
I can't take it.
Yeah, because we had Lyndon LaRouche on the show for 25 years, and he's the expert on the Queen. We've covered the Queen issue, and Lenny Bloom is now a fanatic about it, a dupe of International Connection, but we've covered the Queen issue for decades.
Can you imagine there's an audience out there that wants to hear a rehash of Canadian politics? They're on holiday, don't you get it? They're just gone for a few weeks, and then they'll be back, and it'll be just business as usual. They sorted out their problems. It's not they run things. We don't. And so get used
to
it.
And he asked you, what are you going to do about it, or what would he do about it?
Well, the thing is that here's what you do about it. You have to get a bunch of people together, and you've all got to decide that you're going to spend money. And you just go and you get more and more and more people that will spend money. See, if you spend money in this society, you're devoted. You've got an investment, you see? That's how you have to do it. If there's no investment, then there's no solidarity. Solidarity's all through money in
this
society.
That's why CKLN has no solidarity. There's no money here.
Right. So everybody's going, hey, it's not worth it to me. And basically, the same thing with the government. There's no money in it there for us. We don't own anything here. We're just trying to grab as much as we can get and on our own, privately. So, anyway, you're on the air.
Hello, Greg?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi, Bob, too. I just wanted to say, you know, how do you think the government or the society ever considers, how are we going to ever defang the right wing? We defanged the left wing when they destroyed the Soviet Union, a worker union. How are they going to defang the right wing?
Wait a minute. What did you just say? That you defanged the what?
The left wing when they destroyed the Soviet Union.
Right.
The worker union. How are they ever going to defang this other thing? That's all we've got left is the right wing.
Crazy.
Through the virtual economy. The virtual economy has defanged the Kudlow and gang.
Well, look. You look at Blagojevich and Ryan in Illinois. Ryan was a Republican. We would assume people would go, oh, you know, there'd be a knee-jerk reaction. He's one of these right-wingers.
Yeah.
But he really wasn't. And then you got Blagojevich, and then he pretends sort of to be a right-winger, getting in power on law and order issues and so on. What does he do when he gets in power? He double-crosses everybody and starts to get in health care. So there are people out there that are trying to get things done, but they're pragmatists. They realize they've got to play the game to get in there. Some of them play the game. Some of them play the game to get in there. You see, you have to be corrupted.
Do you think Obama is shallow?
What?
Do you think Obama is shallow? Do you think there's nothing there?
There's
a kind of naivety in Obama.
If I say that Obama is shallow, that guy's going to phone in who's always listening for me to say something negative about Obama, and then he'll phone in and go, I told you you're going to say something negative about Obama. I told you. That was a beautiful call last week. Where no sooner had I said something, even it wasn't even really critical of Obama, and he was right there. Hey.
And Greg, why I'm on your show. You have me say what you can't.
Hey, wait. This is the sad bit. Because you know we're nearing the end of the program. But it might not be the end.
Play the Russian national anthem.
I'll have to look.
That.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have it.
I want to record it.
Okay, I'll bring it in next week. So there you have it. There's the program, and I'm going to play this wonderful. Oh, he's gone. I'm going to play this wonderful disclaimer that we have right now. And see, this is the disclaimer. You ready?
Yep.
This discounts everything you've just heard. It wipes it all out of your memory. It makes it meaningless, pointless.
And no solidarity.
That's right. Here we go.
Cuts a revolution.
Here it is. Here it is, everyone. This is the end of the program, and then this happens.
The views expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. The views expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated.
There, you got a double hit of it. Ha! Ha ha! Boy, yeah. Double hit of that. We're back on the International Connection. Actually, we're now treading into the time of a program called Choice Cuts. And
yeah, on the subway, maybe.
Maybe. It's looking nice out there, but it's a bit hard traveling. I got here on time, but
you live next door.
I live close, but I don't know that the other people don't live close too. Don't live nearby.
What's interesting, Greg, is this may interfere with our 11 o'clock plan.
It might, but hey, I'm going to give you a number. Well, I don't want to give the numbers. Just get ready. I'll give you one of them. 416-595-1479. That'd be a number, all right? Just keep that in your keep that written down. 416-595-1479. And then get ready, get a pencil and paper out, because if Rebecca comes in, then I'll give you the other number. And then we can just keep going with the show, with people. And they don't have to worry about whether they're going to be on the air. If you're shy and you don't want the stuff to go out over the air, I can't just, even if I do a program where you phone in or if it's off the air, I have to say you're on the air because that's the law. And if I take a call and you don't agree to it being on the air, I can't put it on the air. So it's a good time for you, like once we leave the air and the other show comes on, it's a good time for you to collect your ideas and talk about things that you normally wouldn't like to speak about. And if you don't want it to go out over the air, or if you want parts to be edited or your voice changed or something like that, I can all do it in post. I can change it all. That's a good deal, don't you think, Bob?
Yeah, and I think Rebecca loves you as the person she follows, because she knows that you can carry on. She can just come in if she feels like it and not come in. I think it's nice that Rebecca has you.
I get along with her. You know, as soon as she comes in, we're gonna go. So the show will end very quickly, if she gets here. But it is
Greg,
bad weather.
Last week, one of your fans or our fans said that the last week's show was the top 10. Made the short list of the top 10 shows of all time for International Connection.
One of the top five. One of the top five.
Can we say who reported that?
That was Dave too,
right? I'm wondering how we're doing today. I enjoyed the aggressive callers.
Yeah, it was a change of pace, I thought. And who knows? Maybe we'll have another one on our hands here. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah. Okay. About the show that you're going to do at 11 o'clock. If it's not going to be on the air, who's going to hear it?
Yeah. I have a plan for that. I have a plan for that. It may be heard in the next few weeks. So I might edit it up and use it in the next few weeks. So there is some purpose in doing it. And, yes, it would air. And also the reason I thought it could be that's if I get off the air at 11. I can give another time. Maybe I'll stay a little bit longer after whenever we get off the air and do it just to experiment with it. And it can be raunchy. We can start using language that we would normally not use on the air, that I can't allow over the air, but we can use it, and then I can start bleeping stuff out, and then you can play it, and everybody knows what you're saying. It's just it isn't being said, and that's...
So we can be really free with what we want to say as opposed to right now.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, completely free. And I can just cut stuff out, and you know, I have to edit it for air, but remember that the show exists as an unedited one that could be at some point in the future put out on the internet, and people could go, they could hear the edited version, and then you know, at some later date hear the complete version. I want to experiment with that.
It could be our last show, Greg. It could be when we get knocked off the air, if our Voltaire services are cut off, we could play it as our last show.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, it just sounds like a forum that has endless possibilities.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I've wanted to do this a few times, and I couldn't do it. And I thought, let's give it a whirl. The big problem is, of course, that when this show is being done, that people can't hear what's going on to respond to it. They're working in sort of blind. But I have a feeling that happens a lot with the callers who are phoning in. I don't think they're really listening because, like, listen to that guy. He's saying, you know, get real. One of the guys was going, get real, do real radio. He's factoring out what we're saying because he wants another type of show to be going on.
Maybe he wants some choice cuts.
Maybe.
All right, well, I guess I don't really have much else, just a question. Okay, carry on.
All right, thank you.
That caller sounds familiar, too.
Yeah. That is a regular caller to the program.
Yeah. He sounds a bit like Dave One to me.
No, I don't think so. This is an interesting story, and I think you'll find it particularly so, Bob.
Before you go, do you understand that caller was saying, why don't we talk about the Queen's control of Canada? You know International Connection featured Lynn LaRouche, who's the expert on that topic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've covered that for years.
I know. It's just it isn't within people's living memory, some of them. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Greg. It's Dave.
Dave, how are you?
Why do you ask, Greg?
Oh, just checking.
How's Bob?
How are you, Dave?
I can't hear you, Bob.
I'm fine, Dave. No, I'm fine, Dave. Great, I'm always fine. The weather's perfect. We don't have any storms like you guys.
What makes you think we don't like storms, Bob?
Oh, I don't know what you think. I go by what the Android meme shows me. That's the biggest headline now. Storms all over North America.
That's where you go wrong, though, I think, Bob.
No. You mean I don't get real?
I get real, Bob.
Which real?
Hey, did you hear about the little boys in Afghanistan, Bob?
Yes, I did.
Tell us about them.
No, you. You.
Apparently, if you get, now that they get to fly kites, they have to tolerate being raped now.
What? What?
Didn't you hear that?
No, guy? No, I didn't.
The Afghan police were told to, or somebody was told to turn a blind eye. I don't know what's, wouldn't you want somebody to turn a sighted eye? But they're told to turn a blind eye to the raping of little children. So I just thought, well, that's what you get when you get invaded by the West.
Yeah.
That comes along with it, I think, right?
Yeah, their country gets raped, and then you want to take it out on somebody else, right?
Yeah, turn your sighted eye, though.
Turn my sighted eye. Let me see. Is it in Iraq or Afghanistan?
Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Dave, how did you hear that?
I was on the mainstream media.
So what? Is that a strange story for mainstream media, or is that real stuff?
Well, they didn't make the association with the kite flying. But
okay, here I got it. Let's do this. We're doing internet stuff here. World court inquiry sought in Afghan rapes. the International Criminal Court should probe allegations some Canadian soldiers serving in Afghanistan told subordinates to look the other way when Afghan soldiers and local interpreters sodomized young boys.
See, that's turning a sighted eye.
Yeah, says one of Canada's leading human rights lawyers.
That's why it made the news, because it's a Canadian story.
University of British Columbia international law and politics expert and former guest on this very program, Michael Byers, who was among a group of academics who sought to have former Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet detained as a war criminal, said he plans to ask the International Criminal Court to begin its own inquiry into the charges. In a story published yesterday in The Star, former Canadian soldier Tyrell Britann said that during his tour of duty in Afghanistan in 2006, he witnessed Afghan interpreters bringing young boys inside buildings at Forward Operating Base Wilson, a remote Canadian base outside Kandahar. The boys were then sodomized by the interpreters and Afghan soldiers, Britann said. Other Canadian soldiers have complained to chaplains and military medical personnel that officers told them not to get involved because the sodomy was tantamount to cultural differences. If the allegations are true, Byers said, they will reflect more poorly on the Canadian military than the scandal in 1993 in Somalia when Canadian soldiers tortured and murdered a Somali teenager who snuck into a Canadian base. As Byers said, we're spending $18 billion on this mission in Afghanistan, and it's engaged in the hearts and minds of 33 million Canadians in different ways. The rape of children in a conflict zone is at least as serious as the torture of that young Somalian during the Canadian mission there. Also yesterday, Afghanistan's ambassador to Canada said the Ministry of Defense in Kabul is aware of the allegations leveled by Britann and others, but won't act until it receives more detailed information from Canada. Quote, these allegations go back to 2006, not something that occurred just last week. We don't have names, dates, and legal testimony. Now, I have to interrupt this important story because Ms. Choice Cuts herself is here. She's
Hi,
here. Was it tough out there, Rebecca? Here, was it difficult? Here, you go on the, let's see, no, not that one. Go ahead.
It's actually beautiful.
It's beautiful,
outside.
Yeah.
Hi, Rebecca.
Look at all the pigeons. Look at them all out there warming themselves.
Hi, Becky.
Rebecca, Dave, too. Dave, too, says hello.
Hello, Dave, too.
Hi, Becky.
Yeah, she can't hear you because she doesn't have her headphones on yet. Well, well, I guess we're going to wrap this little baby up.
Greg, let me ask Rebecca, anything on the Dave Neufeld interview?
Anything
can't
on
hear you, Bob.
Anything on the Dave Neufeld interview? Anything up on that?
I've sent out a couple of emails. He's thus far been unresponsive, but I'm still hoping. So.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, I'll speak to him.
Time sensitive. He can talk
right.
to me at any time.
So, okay,
I'll
well,
speak
well,
to him.
I'm going to play this thing, and we're going to leave now.
Merry New Year, Greg.
Thank you, Dave, too.
And Bob and Becky.
Okay, all right. We're saying goodbye and goodbye. Oops, not that one. Not
they
this
were
one.
Temporarily.
At midnight on February 17th, 2009, all televisions will switch from analog to 100% digital. If you are still receiving your signal over the air, you will have to convert your analog signal.
Analog?
The conversion is simple. First, apply for your converter box coupon at www.dtvtransition.gov.
How many W's?
Then you can check the status of your coupon request at www.dtv2009.gov/checkstatus.aspx.
Is that in Los Angeles?
After you purchase the converter, it's time to install it. A quick start guide and installation video are available at www.digitaltips.org under the DTV/.